With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Zach Meisel joining us on the show. He's a Guardians writer, and you can follow him on Twitter at Zach Meisel. Hello, Zach.
You know, Marcus Freeman was the first athlete I ever interviewed.
Was he a good interview?
Great guy. Yeah, he had to, he was at Ohio State and then went to the NFL. I think he was with Indy and had to retire because he had a heart condition.
Ooh.
So he's been through a lot. Good dude. Good hire.
Now he's going to make way more money than he ever would have in the NFL.
That's true. That's the way to go, coaching.
Well, we really just don't want to talk about some of the bad stuff going on here right now. So this lockout, how long is this thing going to last here, Zach?
Tell us in hours.
Let's see how many. If 2 months is
okay. Two months is
that's optimistic.
60, that's not bad.
60 times 24. I don't know. I'm not naive enough to think that ego and stubbornness and short-sightedness can't get in the way and screw the sport more than it already has done to itself over the last couple of years. But I do think there's enough runway here where they'll get something done before spring training would have started anyway. So I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic, but you'll certainly have radio silence until after the new year, and I think that'll scare people a little bit. So it's just it's weird. I mean, this was coming. Like, we knew it was headed down this path for a long time. The winter meetings were supposed to start Sunday. I never booked a flight. I think we knew this was inevitable, but I think I'm hopeful that both sides can realize what the ramifications would be if they don't get something done in the proper amount of time, because this is obviously another black eye for the sport.
It's certainly ugly. I didn't even read the letter to the fans from the commissioner. It's
propaganda. I mean, yeah. It's not worth your time.
Okay, thank you. Because I got forwarded to me by my boss, and I'm just like, I'm not reading this, buddy. I don't know. That ain't going to happen. There are a couple ideas that I did kind of like. I do like expanding the playoffs. Hold on. It's more television. It's more chance to make fan favorites, more chance to tell stories. We love storytelling with players. A couple other ideas that I kind of dug. But overall, why would the players' union push back against a lot of these ideas?
Because tanking is a huge problem, and you have a lot of teams in this sport that just don't try, and that's mostly just financially, and we understand what that's like here. But it's widespread. There's just such a disparity between the teams that are making an effort to win and the teams that are just trying to do just enough to maybe make it look like they care. And if you expand to 14 teams, that's half the league just about. And it's just going to encourage teams to do just enough to win like 84 games and get in. And we've seen how the playoffs can be a crapshoot. The Atlanta Braves lost their best player in the middle of the season. They only won 88 games. But they got hot at the right time and they won a World Series. So you would have these teams just trying to get in, sneak in, which would become easier than ever, hoping to get hot at the right time, and it might happen. So the union feels like it's just encouraging mediocrity, and they understand. I mean, I think there's middle ground to strike here where maybe you could have 12 teams make it, or you could expand the wild card or something to make it a best of three. Like, there are things you can do to just make both sides happy. And obviously the owners just, I mean, they would want 24 teams in the playoffs if they could, and add more rounds of the postseason just because it equals more money. But you can't have that short-sighted view here. You have to think about the long-term ramifications. And if you have these teams just continuing, if you just have this disparity where teams can tank and be bad forever, and then when it's finally time to be good again, and you can have small market teams run $40 million payrolls because they can just win 83 games and it gets them that seven seed and they have a chance and they can tell their fan bases, hey, we made the playoffs. I mean, it's just not healthy for the sport. And also it spoils the regular season. I mean, the baseball has to figure out what it wants to be. You have 162 games. So the regular season needs to mean something. And if you have half the teams making the playoffs, then why does anyone need to care about a game in May or June or July?
Yeah, but Zach, I would push back on that just to say, when you see it's all over the place, a graphic where Max Scherzer is making more than your baseball team, and your team continues to flatline when it comes to attendance and all those things anyway, don't you have to give them a better chance to make the playoffs to get people interested in the sport to begin with?
No, but that needs to be on the owner. That needs to be on the team itself. And that's why you hear talks about a salary floor, or trying to find some way to leverage revenue sharing that will make it a more even playing field. And that's probably, I don't think there are going to be any significant changes in that realm. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I think you need to, like, the difference between what Steve Cohen and the Mets is doing and what the Guardians and the A's and the Rays and the Reds are doing is, I mean, they're playing two different sports, and that's not to excuse either of them. You know, it hasn't worked out for the Mets so far, but it hasn't worked out here either. So there needs to just be a more level playing field, and that can dictate what teams are good and what teams aren't, instead of just, you know, the setup that we have now. It's not working. And if you go back and look at all the teams that win the World Series, it's way more often than not teams that are in the top half, top 10 in payroll. And you know, yes, any team can get hot and win at the right time, but the better teams have the better chances of getting hot. That's the thing that people just always omit. It's like, okay, well, the Orioles aren't going to get hot at the right time and win. You know, you have to have a good roster, and you have to spend money to do that. So you'll hear talks of a salary floor, but I know there was pushback on that when that was originally floated out during the season. You just have to find a way to make this a more gripping sport. I mean, if you're going to expand the playoffs too much, you're going to make 162 games not matter. So you have to find that happy medium, because we've seen it in the NBA. I mean, I've watched every Cavs game this season. It's been thrilling. But in most markets, the regular season means nothing. Those playoff teams, the veteran players, they're just saying, wake me up in mid-May, and then I'll put in all my effort. Because we've seen that so many teams make the playoffs in the NBA, and those series in the postseason are so long that the regular season doesn't mean a whole lot.
Give me a percentage chance that we get a salary floor.
25%.
Better than I thought.
Yeah, it certainly won't be the $100 million that was floated out there. I mean, Cleveland would have to double it. I don't even know how they would do that. Paul Dolan might have a stroke if that were enacted. So,
well, we can't even afford to actually put the signs up properly, let alone double the salaries.
Yeah, I mean, that's another conversation. Is like,
I'm ready to have that.
They also have to like do something so that people will stop talking about the embarrassing moments, right? I mean, some point you have to make a move and give people something positive and exciting to talk about.
So, can I vent to you about something here?
Absolutely.
Like, I did. I couldn't believe that. I was looking at my computer. What was that, Tone Tuesday? And someone brought that up. One of my buddies on Twitter here brought it up, and they said, and I met the guy in real life, not just Twitter buddy. Good dude. And it was brought to my attention. You're telling me that those letters were put on with command strips? Because I imagine they were going to bolt them in later on that team shop sign. You got command strips there. We got apparel that fans can't even buy, because there's no on-field apparel. Half the signs still say Indians in that stadium right now. Like, why are we doing this so haphazardly? Because it's just, It's such a bad look. And before there was an argument about the Dolans and their thriftiness and about, well, you know, this is a really successful team. You can't bitch and moan. And I go, no, I can't bitch and moan. That's true. But what this whole thing has done is put a huge spotlight on this transition and how ugly this transition really is. Let me underline ugly. It's a really bad look. They should know that.
When was the last time there was good PR, good optics coming out of that building?
Charity. I'll give charity. I think they do a lot there. Terry Francona stuff, you know, with him. I'm not going to have that forever. I'm not trying to argue with you on this. I know the point you were trying to make. I'm just trying to be fair because it's like any time I bring up anything with the Guardians, you know, I'll say things about the Browns and it's like, you know, but he's fair. And the same thing about the Cavs for the most part, even though they really don't talk. And the Indians like, well, Ken, you're being so unfair. And I go, no, I'm not. This is an embarrassment. You got signs falling off the side of your building here. Like, what are we doing? What are you doing? Like, I have no leg to stand on with you anymore. Not you, obviously, Zach. I love you. But with them, and I'm like, I want you guys to be successful. And command strips are holding up pieces of sign here.
They have to change the narrative themselves. I think they can't sit around and just hope that the team has a good season and that young players develop and then people will just organically start to talk about, hey, like the prospects for this franchise are looking up. They've got to set the narrative. They've got to set the tone themselves. And I thought they missed an opportunity to do that because they can still sell merchandise during the lockout. Just because transactions are frozen and the league is frozen doesn't mean merchandise sales have to be. And I thought that they could throw fans a bone and make some move to get people excited so that they don't spend the next 2 months or however long this takes continuing to talk about the sign and talking about just all of the bad optics that have been coming out of there for forever. When was the last time you guys had a segment talking about the team and you guys talked about players or talked about just like what next season might look like? There's no reason to, you know, it's like you can get to that in spring training. So I think it's on them, and I do believe they're going to make some moves. They're set up, their roster, if you really dig into it, they're set up to make a big trade. They still have some financial flexibility where they can make a modest free agent signing to address the outfield. That stuff can still happen whenever the lockout ends, but you have to be aggressive if you want to capitalize on this. You do this, you change your name once every century, if that. So why not take advantage and capitalize on it and try to spread excitement and galvanize the fan base and get those who are talking, who are ticked off about the name change to stop caring about that by putting a winner on the field and building excitement. I think they've had a missed opportunity here and I think it's on them to make it right. And they can control what people talk about by their actions. They just haven't.
Yeah. Zach, I think it's so frustrating for fans because we look at it from the prism of why would these guys, I know they want to keep the team in Cleveland. They've done that. They've been great stewards for professional baseball in this city. And the way that they've represented this city, it's been terrific. They've been the best run organization. All those platitudes aside, with what we've talked about them in the city over the years, why do they want to own this team if they're going to be basement dwellers in terms of payroll in a sport that you have to have high payroll eventually over time? The Rays notwithstanding, you do. You have to have a high payroll. You just do.
Yeah, I've asked that question for years. If you complain about losing tens of millions of dollars every season,
no one's going to have sympathy for you.
Yeah, no one's.
And it's gone. All the goodwill is gone. And they had all this goodwill build up. I'm sorry to interrupt, Zach, but it's gone. You can tell. There's apathy setting in. This is Cavs apathy when the Guns owned the team before LeBron came in. And that's never where you want to be, and they're not going to get any sympathy or runway from the fans.
No doubt. And I mean, that's kind of what I mean. It's why they have to change the narrative themselves. I mean, I've written over and over about the minority investor search and their terms that they're sort of setting for it, and they're looking hard for someone. They want a partner in there who can eventually take over, but you know, any partner wants to take over sooner rather than later. No one wants to invest $400, $500 million into something that they're not going to get power and control for 5 years or so. So I think part of this has to do with Larry Dolan, Paul Dolan's parents, and you know, he had hinted to me a couple of years ago that they didn't want to maybe sell or do anything until while they were still alive. So who knows what the real thinking is behind there, but you're right. There is no sympathy. No one is forcing you to own this team. And if it's such a hardship, just get out or do something.
I mean, I've always said like, oh, I'll be careful what you wish for with a new owner. But I mean, it's starting to stare you dead in the face, ain't it? Like, it's just
bad. You've got the lease is extended. You know, the name has changed. All those things, those clouds that were sort of hovering overhead are gone. So I think that's why this is at the top of the priority list now for the Dolans, is finding someone to invest in the team. But, you know, it's no one feels bad for you. And again, like, this was such an opportunity teed up for you this offseason. And it is still there to an extent, but I think you missed a big piece of it by getting to this lockout with your biggest signing of Eniel De Los Santos. So I think, yeah.
Who the hell is that?
That's who they signed him yesterday. I know nothing about him. But they,
I read your tweet.
They had 750 people show up to the team shop for their big grand opening. Like, is that a lot of people? I mean, this is not this. It feels like this all could have gone better and more efficient, and they could have capitalized on all of this more, and they haven't. And you've got a fan base who, I think, Anthony, you said it. I mean, I think apathy has started to set in.
Other than that, we hope you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful holiday season, everyone. Zach, we thank you very much for the time.
Hey, let me. I want in on this Mary Kay Cabot going to a game, because I've watched every Cavs game. They're exciting. They're 15-5 against the spread. How about that?
How do you know that?
I just know things.
Seems like Zach Meisel has a little skin in the game. Zach, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Take care, fellas.
Guardians writer. Zach Meisel. It's like covering a landfill. 216-578-0092. Zach was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I got more things to get off my chest.
Can we talk Cavs? This is ridiculous. We have a team in town that has the excitement of everybody here, and you're bringing everybody down.
We have to have a – I'm going to bring that up, but we also have to have a frank conversation about a guy named Kevin on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news – you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.